This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
That's right. In the loop on a Tuesday here in H-Town. You heard the man, call and roll. Mm-hmm. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, LaFiggy Fig here with you. And he's out here with a couple of really interesting koozies in here.
Some koozies.
I don't know what the occasion is, but mm-hmm. He's got koozies for all
Dolly
of them.
Parton. I forgot my tumbler today, but I actually carry koozies around in my briefcase, for real.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
These are your very important business items.
We were talking Texans. I was using mm-hmm. my Texans koozie when we were
You're thematic.
We were talking Astros. I don't think I was perfect score when it came to mm-hmm. doing it, but I
had the orbit.
Koozie.
Yeah.
And then I have the Queen, Dolly Parton.
That doesn't look like Stevie Nicks.
That's Dolly Parton.
Why? We're not doing Nicks. That again. We're not. What? That's Queen. A side conversation that will remain a side conversation.
Queen, Stevie Nicks. She's the wench hanging out on the other side of the castle. This is the Queen right here.
And that will lead to a koozie confession for me later on in the show. But Yeah, we got a show for you today mm-hmm. on this Tuesday. Hope that you're having a good time. Go ahead and get involved with the program, as we always want you to do. There's the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
The Texas Hammer!
Yes, sir. 713-5724. I feel like I just have to up my energy whenever I say that. One more time for me, if you don't mind.
The Texas Hammer!
Yeah, that's right. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. And then also, shout out to Mo Karam and Drew Lawyers for giving us the live streams, both on YouTube at Sports Radio 610 and then Twitch 610 Houston. But yeah, let's start here because, yeah, we were talking about mm-hmm. the wide receivers and how you go about addressing wide receiver for this Texans team. Like, I think Seth, you know, kind of led us down that path yesterday in some ways, talking about how he thought, you know, just kind of one wide receiver and you kind of, you know, go with more of a normal pattern of having two mm-hmm. guys that you really depend on and then having your depth. I lean towards kind of having those three guys, and we started talking about Mechie, we started talking about Hutchinson, and somebody was like, look, man, I'm not trying to hear all those other guys. We should have kept Noah Brown. I was like, look, if I had a time machine, I would have done that.
Yep.
And then the light bulb popped up ahead of me.
Hey, time machine.
If you did have a time machine and you wanted to change anything in Houston sports, 713-572-4610, what's the thing that you would change?
Well, we bounced this off of Tyler Milner,
yes.
Who was here early getting some work done.
That's right.
And he went with one more recent that I think some people would agree with, and that is Game 7, A.J. Hinch. And how he handled the pitching, you know, and down the stretch. Still hurts inside a little bit, sitting out there in right field and watching that happen, and then home runs and everything else.
Were you looking in the pen?
Like,
you were actively, because you were sitting out there in right field.
I was in right field. I was looking in the pen. I was with my two sons.
So you saw
Will Harris coming out there tired as hell.
I saw Will Harris coming out. And the day before, man, you're going to get me mad again.
Go for
it. The day before.
Get in your bag, Queen, or King, rather.
A.J. Hinch said, nah, Will Harris, he ain't got nothing. Basically, that's what he said. He's tired.
He said he's gassed.
He's gassed. And then he brings his ass in.
Hey, come in here and give us some of that gas. Right,
I'm going to go in the Wayback Machine, though.
Okay. That's what a time machine is.
Wayback time machine. Mm-hmm. Wayback time machine. The year was 2005.
All right. I was expecting like the 70s. You said way back.
And the Houston Texans were drafting in the first round. David Carr we knew what David Carr was. He had like 35 touchdowns, 45 interceptions. He was not the guy. You had 3 years of David Carr under your belt, and the Texans drafted Travis Johnson, who we all love.
The cigar man.
Uh-oh. We all love Travis Johnson.
Uh-oh. ISO!
ISO!
You by yourself on this one.
We ISO. All, the year before, they had drafted one Andre Johnson. David Carr was not the answer. We knew that by the end of year three.
I don't know where you're going here, and I'm very scared. I'm going to be honest.
Several picks, not even, let's see how many picks it was behind. Nah, 7 picks behind Travis Johnson. Aaron Rodgers was drafted by the Green Bay Packers. Had the Texans made the decision then to draft Aaron Rodgers and team him up with a decent defense and Andre Johnson, hell, who knows what we'd be talking about right now?
Well, I know some of the things we'd be talking about right now, but I within what context?
And go ahead,
we
Sean,
welcome back Sean Pendergast.
No. It's funny. You know who I've had this conversation with?
Travis.
Travis Johnson.
Yeah, I have too.
Reggie, you don't need to back away from the table.
Yeah.
If you talk to Travis Johnson about it, he'll be the first to admit, like, yeah, they should have drafted him.
I've always believed him to be self-aware, but I just want to make it abundantly clear. I love Travis, and I'm not willing to say anything blasphemous.
Aaron Rodgers and Andre Johnson. Think about it. I mean, could we have a Super Bowl? That wasn't too far
Maybe.
Removed.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, well, he has won. Here's the tough thing. Like, but, he has won.
Yeah.
This is the thing.
He's one of the greatest ever.
You're not wrong.
He sat behind somebody for a couple years, too.
Yeah, that is fair. You change that dynamic. Well, does he become the same player? I am inclined to say yes.
Yeah.
However, you know, like, I think that is a question that people constantly ponder about is, like, what does that look like? Also, he is notoriously onerous. Like, he is notoriously not easy
care.
To deal with.
I don't care.
And I don't know that this is an organization that was, like, well set to be able to deal with that dude.
I do not care. Aaron Rodgers and Andre.
Like, Aaron Rodgers is the, like, highly potent. Like, he's kerosene. Like, he's gasoline, right? It is highly potent. But if you do not handle with care, this whole thing is burning to the ground, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I do wonder, Would you have gotten the raw power to work? Would you have been able to harness that in the way that you wanted? Or would that have ended up being a mess? Would he even been here for a very long time? Like, I don't know that all those things come together.
I would sure like to have found out. I sure would have liked to have found out. Aaron Rodgers and Andre? Come on, man.
I mean, look, I would have loved that for Andre's sake. Just like, hey, man, somebody who gets him the ball in a way above what he was dealing with there. All right. So this person absolutely on the YouTube is where I was going. And in order, before I go there, I would like to take you back to All-Star Weekend. I promise I'm not going to do this too much to you. It's not about All-Star Weekend itself. However, All-Star Weekend in the NBA this weekend was in San Francisco, and they practiced at Oracle Arena, where the Warriors used to play. This is James Harden, obviously former Rocket, talking about being back in that building.
Yeah, as much as like being in this arena gives me like nightmares, because I had to go against them. Like, it was like a real battle. Like, we literally created teams just to beat the Warriors. You know what I mean? And somehow, some way, you know, they always ended up, you know what I mean, you know, in the finals.
Yeah, and so Tommy on the YouTube says Chris Paul's hammy injury in the Western Conference Final 2018. I don't know how I fix that going back in a time machine. Like, if I just had ultimate power, sure. But if we in the situation of going back, I also am not entirely sure how I do this, right? Because they missed 27 threes, right? But three-pointers was the way that they got there. But I feel like if I go up there and I'm like, hey, level with you. I'm coming from the future. Three-pointers aren't on the menu today.
Yeah.
Like, I understand. Look, this is how. What got you here? Mm-hmm. Can we change our approach a little bit? Because, again,
the offense right there.
Right, like, that was the whole offense. However, like, you lost by 9 points.
Yeah.
I feel like if we could turn some of these three-point attempts into something other, into getting downhill, into, like, creating some fouls, and I will readily admit, it's been a while since I've gone back and watched that game for obvious reasons. Why would I do that to myself? But I feel like if we could change the way that they approached that just a little bit earlier in that game, you could make it more competitive and maybe get a win. Like, I can't fix Chris Paul's hammy, and that was, like, devastating because it felt like, yo, he stays healthy and they go on to the finals and they definitely win that thing.
They should,
I'm like, hey, at the very least, if the thing that feels like it's readily changeable is just changing your approach a little bit if you knew ahead of time. I don't blame them in that moment for taking all those threes because that's how they got there. But if I have the benefit of hindsight, hey, man, let's see if we can change the way we do this. If we can get downhill a little bit better.
Yeah.
If we can do a little bit more of this pick and roll, get into, you know, the lob and those types of things that they like doing as opposed to leaning so heavily on the three, maybe you can get past this.
Do you have one, Figgy?
Yeah, I was thinking, I kind of want to respond to that because this kind of popped in my head. What about the trade, the Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook trade?
Yeah, I mean,
because Chris Paul, he actually played better that year with OKC and actually got them to the playoffs, which we thought he was all washed, and he had like another year.
He's
after
still
that.
Not washed completely.
he's not the same.
Yeah, but I mean, but just to illustrate your point, he was good.
Yeah,
for a
no,
while.
We
yeah.
traded yeah. him because we thought he was washed. Yeah. We thought that was it.
Yeah, there was that, but then there was also the fact that I think that he might have strangled James Harden.
This is true.
Like,
yeah, that's
to be
true.
Fair, you traded for another dude who maybe probably wanted to strangle James Harden at some point. Like, that was the tough thing about James Harden. He wasn't a worker necessarily. And not to say that he was entirely lazy or whatever, but just his get down did not jive with these two dudes in Chris Paul and then even more so Russell Westbrook. That they're all about putting in this work. And the cultural thing ended up being a little bit of a distinction. But I think it's fair to ask that question. Like, hey, man, do you run that back again? Although, again, then we come back to the idea that you thought he was washed. He also, like, got injured right at the wrong time. Those types of things. Like, there's a lot of things that you look up and you go, hey, does that happen again? Especially in the way that you had to play basketball. I don't know.
We're getting some really good ones. Go ahead.
Yeah, baby. I got a couple of them. The first one I thought about, and this is kind of recent. I love Stephon Diggs. Don't get me wrong. But I think about Brian Thomas Jr.
Ocho Wins.
Yeah, I kind of wonder. You know, I wouldn't change it again, but I always think about the what if.
Yep.
What if you stayed right there and you actually picked that receiver?
Yeah. This past season alone.
And we're not talking about drafting receiver in the same way that we are now. Maybe you still want to add one, especially with Tank's injury, assuming that everything, like, I understand butterfly effect stuff happens. Like, assuming that things happen somewhat similarly and you have, like, Tank getting injured, but you have, in that instance, you have Nico, you'd have a young ascending player in Brian Thomas Jr., or Thomas Jr., and you're like, all right, well, we have these two things to work with. Maybe you add a tertiary player that's, like, on the periphery. Maybe you feel a little bit more comfortable operating in free agency, just kind of adding somebody in because you have these two dudes on extended contract. But we would definitely be in a much different place.
Yeah, and I'm not saying the Texans made the wrong move. I felt like the move they made was the right move. But I'm like, damn, if you had Brian Thomas Jr., you got this receiver core, these three guys for the next 4 years.
There's several coming in.
Y'all are killing this.
They're
on
killing
the
it.
Jim Adler, the
this one is
text
low.
Line.
This one is low key a huge one. Just don't run a quarterback sneak. Just don't run that quarterback sneak. They were the best team in the AFC until he was it an ankle foot something like that and did that. What about going back and signing Peyton Manning when he was the Texans were in the market? It was being reported. The Texans were interested in signing Peyton Manning, and then he ended up going to Denver and winning a Super Bowl and going to two?
Yeah, they went to two. Yeah, they went to two. One of those, they got absolutely smoked.
Yeah.
And then the other one, he was not particularly good in. That defense carried you there, so I don't know how much I lean towards that.
This
However,
was a defense team, though.
Yeah, the alternative. Yeah.
But
I
you
get,
also had Brock Osweiler.
Exactly. When you get to the alternative, you're talking about the big Brock, right? Some fair ones that come in. Nolan Ryan leaving Houston is one of those. If you could find a way to convince him to stay, I appreciate that. How about this? Like, we did not go back and talk about, like, the Oilers. Because there's a few of the things that you can hit with the Oilers. I don't know. I do appreciate, like, what kind of negotiation tactics you might have. Because the 8-3-2 is, like, the Oilers never leaving.
Yeah.
But also having a new owner. And I'm like, how are you making that happen? If you can make that happen, that's great. But if you can find a way to keep the Oilers, that absolutely, I understand. That'd be huge. We would not be dealing with your favorite woman in the world.
That
Amy Adams Strunk.
Woman.
That's right. You wouldn't be dealing with that particularly in the same way. All the time, but like somebody, there's a few.
How about run the ball? When you're up 35-3 against the Bills.
Yeah, I was about to go there.
Run
100%.
The damn ball. That would have been a win. That would have been a win right there.
Yeah, and you put yourself in the big game. Give yourself an opportunity to actually bring one of those home because it is one of the shames in Houston sports that the Oilers never got over that. Because, I mean, they had teams that were capable, they had teams that were good enough. go back in time. I'm surprised that this did not happen enough. Or did not show up as much on the text line. Go back in time and not hire Jack Easterby.
Oh, yeah.
Someone else went with Bill O'Brien. But I was like, I think this is the first
Easterby was the real. I mean, Bill O'Brien, we know his shortcomings, but Easterby was the one that just set it off the rails. I can't believe I didn't think of that one.
Yeah, I'm like, I was like, hey, I figured that that would be the overwhelming response. Would be, hey, Easterby, don't do that. But yeah, that one just came in, especially because like that is a time that absolutely tormented the Texans.
What about the D-Hop trade?
Yeah, I mean, sure. It was awful.
Yeah, I think that was the that was one of the reasons. That's where it started going downhill at that point, man. Because I mean, you could have kept him for another year.
Yeah,
like people like to bring up the whole contract thing. And nah, he would have played another year, man.
At least you
definitely would have went back to the playoffs.
Somebody says, "What about signing Barkley that last year?"
He was. Oh no, that's a great one. I mean, nobody dislikes Joe Mixon, but Barkley was an MVP candidate and, you know, offensive player of the year, 2,000 yards, all that. And they were reportedly, again, deep into conversations towards signing him.
Okay, so we're really stretched. You be the judge here, Lopez. I'm going to the court of the honorable Judge John P. Lopez. Somebody said, don't run Colt McCoy into Alabama's line. Obviously talking about, which year was that? The
2011?
National Championship game.
11?
I think you're right there. Yeah. It was 11. Do we count that as Houston sports? Because it's the University of Texas, obviously.
Well, you want to go college, you know, there's a huge...
How about rebound the basketball?
Yeah, how about rebound the basketball?
Right, and just win the national championship instead of letting NC State get over on you? Yeah, no, that's absolutely one of those. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fair. One of those to come up. Somebody said replay for the Renfrow touchdown.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. So I like what you're doing here. You're bringing modern technology back and be like, no. See, look, I got video right here.
Yeah.
Look at it.
Yeah.
Like you're like Pat Bev that one time on the court where he brought the camera. Like, look, no, right here. It shows.
And the 936 said something that no one.
I don't think you're going to. Yeah.
No one in this city has the guts to say.
No, I'm not. I'm.
But.
Nope.
But.
Nope. We're fighting. We're fighting on this one. I refuse.
But. It is probably accurate.
No, I refuse.
No one wants to say it. 936, I give you credit for the courage you have on display right now.
Nope.
Draft Jordan instead of Olajuwon.
Disagree.
Mm.
Come on. Come on.
Nope.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I understand. I understand. I understand.
No one has the guts. You don't have the guts.
Yeah.
No.
Man,
I would have the guts.
He's Nigerian, so he ain't about to go against this Nigerian person.
I would have the guts if I agree.
That's what it is.
Like, I'm willing. Yeah, absolutely. Right, best brother, player in NBA history.
Who wouldn't want Michael Jordan?
I would. I wouldn't. Give me the dream. a local cultural fit. In some ways, a hometown boy.
Your boy.
Yeah. My man.
Your family.
Yeah, no, I'll take that. My man.
Your family.
So you don't like 6 or 7 championships?
You certain you're getting 6 or 7?
Pretty certain. I'm pretty certain.
Look at y'all. Ungrateful. Ungrateful. With all the things that Hakeem Olajuwon has done for this city.
I said no one has the guts.
You ungrateful.
This is the one I was talking to y'all about yesterday. Sometimes I kind of think about if the Houston Texans hired an offensive head coach.
Yeah.
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 I think about, like, I think they made the right decision, but often I think about when if they had, like, that Andy Reid type of person with C.J. Stroud, like that offensive genius with the quarterback.
Sure. That's a good one.
All right. Keep sending those in. I kind of want to keep bringing these up. Somebody says, side note, Dream chose U of H because he got off the plane. Actually, that whole story is fantastical. Mira Fader wrote a really interesting book. We talked to her a few months back.
I've talked to coaches that were around at the time.
Yes, and she's the first one
to get stuck at the Houston airport. Oh, really?
Right. I think she's the first one that that really went through and actually like I think documented in an official capacity.
Yeah.
That story was fun to tell.
Urban myth.
But it's urban myth.
Yeah.
Man, there's so many people that have brought these things. Man, there's all sorts of things. Go back in time, have the Astros beat the Rangers in the World Series.
ALCS is what we're talking about.
What 2023 is that we're talking about? Okay. All right. I feel you on that. I'm with you. Yeah, keep sending those in. I'm so interested in the various places that y'all have gone. Khalil Mack instead of Jadeveon Clowney that year.
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
That's a great one.
I mean, Jadeveon was fine, but no, you absolutely would have gotten much better out of Khalil Mack. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I'll try and do my best to sprinkle those in throughout the show, so keep those coming in. But, You've got an interesting perspective here, Lopez, in the NFL versus the NBA. Should the NFL learn from the NBA?
What?
In a very particular way. And I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this. We'll do that next.
Peggy.
All right, everybody. It's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Atatula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, and sometimes you just find a hit that you were not expecting to be a hit. We stumbled upon this idea of if you had a time machine, and you just went back, what would you change in Houston sports? Of course, the caveat being you would have to go back and change it yourself. You'd have to go in your personal form and go and try and make some things shake. And man, y'all keep coming up with some good ones, like going up and trying to convince the Texans, don't just go up to 12, go all the way up to 10 mm-hmm. in 2017 and go ahead and draft that boy Patrick Mahomes. And boy,
he was on the list though, man.
Things mm-hmm. would have been very different. Like obviously in the moment, getting Deshaun Watson, cool. You did a great job. Yeah. Except now we know things.
Yeah.
And with the knowledge of the things that we know, I would absolutely much prefer Patrick Mahomes in that instance.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, you think?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys keep setting up really, there's a lot of really interesting ones.
What about this one? When Deshaun requested the trade before mm-hmm. all the allegations, when did Nick Caserio say, you know what? We'll trade you right now.
Yeah.
Just get everything you can. You probably would have got way more than the 3 first round picks.
Well, could you have gotten more? Because
first was amazing.
It was the desperation of the Browns that made that.
That was amazing. But me personally, like seeing how Deshaun played the last couple years, I would have thought it would have been more than that because you never had a quarterback like that request a trade that young.
Yeah.
Well, you would have gotten at least 3 firsts.
Maybe a few seconds.
Yeah. Maybe if you pulled the trigger, then you would have gotten even. Man, that'd have been wild though.
Yeah.
And then you don't have
him. He probably would have been in Miami.
Then you don't have him back there playing safety.
He wanted to go to Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Somebody said, I change us blowing that 24-3 lead against the Chiefs. How you doing that? You about to go back? You about to get in there?
Yeah.
About to get on that field?
Oh, no. They could have stopped. They could have not called that fake punt.
Not called the fake punt.
And maybe went for it on fourth down.
He didn't have a play, Figgy.
Oh, God.
Just come back and be like,
yeah,
hey,
let's move.
I need you to have a play for this particular. You go in there in the coaches meeting. Who is this? Don't worry about it. Just listen. Yeah. I need you to have a play. Yeah. For this particular circumstance.
This man had Justin Reed trying to run who had a torn labrum trying to run a fake punt.
Yes.
Goodness gracious, man.
832 said Miami or Carolina was going to send 2 full drafts. All right. All right.
I think so, man.
Maybe not that, but could have gotten more.
I've gotten a lot. Yeah.
No, it definitely would have been like 3 firsts, maybe a couple seconds. Mm-hmm. They would have gotten.
And then all hell would have broken loose. And they're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, can we rescind the trade?
By the way, shout out to all of you fellow real Houstonians.
Oh, get out of here.
Avoiding and rejecting the notion that the Rockets should have instead had Jordan instead of Hakeem. Blessings. Blessings be upon you. For your nobility and your wisdom. With that being said, Lopez, whatever you want to talk about.
What do you mean?
You have an interesting take. You have this thought that maybe the NFL has something that they could learn from the NBA. And I think that most people, especially coming off the All-Star weekend, are very down on the NBA. And so I imagine that people would kind of scoff at this assertion. But I'm interested. I'm interested to hear what you're going with here.
Well, so the NBA was not, it wasn't as, you know, Teflon as impervious to anything bad as the NFL.
Correct.
But it was pretty dang impervious. And now there's a big discussion about, boy, they just don't know how to do this. They don't know how to do that. I mean, we've gone down the list. Fans, you know, ratings, fans are all going down. So I started thinking, because over and over again here in the last month, the NFL has been spreading itself pretty thin. Talking about going to 18 games. You know, talking about they've added games in Brazil and Germany. And, of course, they go to the UK a lot. There's future games scheduled in Madrid and Dublin. There's one going to Melbourne, Australia in 2026. They're going back to Brazil and Mexico in the near future. Should they learn something from the NBA about getting too much too soon, asking for too much too soon, spreading yourself too thin? Because, first of all, this is obviously detrimental to the players, and you talk about health all the time and recovery. You're going to need another bye week. They're talking about 18 games sooner rather than later. They're going, by the way, there's just today, there's news that Netflix is saying, yeah, we want to stream some more games. Oh, another game or two? No, all of them. All of them in the noon window or on the Sunday windows. So they're going to go in direct competition with CBS and Fox. Amazon Prime, they're streaming games on there. They're spreading themselves awfully thin, awfully fast. Is it possible that the NFL needs to learn from the NBA and maybe take a step back here?
I mean, possible? Yes. I still think that's kind of unlikely. This thing feels tough. Yeah. I understand you, and maybe this is the pride that goeth before the fall, as is foretold. The NFL, and football in particular, feels like it is the one thing that resonates with America in a way that like none of these other sports can, right? I think with basketball, even somewhat with baseball, and I think that sometimes baseball gets, the peril that it seemingly is talked about is, overstated in some ways. But I think that football still seems to be perfectly calibrated for the speed of life in America and for the right amount of violence that America likes and all these things. The game itself, inherently. So, we're not talking about the foundational things in the ways that people are talking about. The basketball game itself needs to change. Mm-hmm. Baseball has made some adjustments to the game itself to make it more palatable. Football seems to be right still in that pocket with it. And maybe I'm just ignoring the idea that, eventually it comes for everybody. There is a fall of every empire. It just feels like there's still so much room to go on this one. Yes, they probably need to be cognizant and aware of the possibility of that. However, I would have told you a long time ago that this was well too far. And here we are with the NFL still cooking. And not only still cooking, looking around the landscape and being like, it is the only thing that matters. How many, 90-something of our top 100 televised programs in America are football?
Yeah.
And a large majority of those are NFL football. It does this because it has the leeway to do this. And I think that it's very particularly situated for it compared to
But
the
would
NBA.
You agree they are spreading themselves awfully thin, awfully soon?
Sure.
Right?
It's a question I always ask myself. At least let's pertain it back down to the streaming, right? The NFL, one of the benefits of it and one of the things that has kept it very high is that the accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
It is always going to be on local channels. At least there's going to be some game in every market on
local
channels.
But is it now?
And that was one of the things that it would always do is like, hey, man, there's not this barrier for entry in the ways that baseball and basketball very, very a lot more sooner ended it behind the paywall of cable, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it was regional networks or what have you. There's always been a free element of football, and that accessibility and that large pool has always been a benefit for it. And they're moving a little bit away from that. Is that eventually going to hurt them? But it just feels like the culture of football is so damn strong in this country that I'm not sure that you can even break that.
No, I get that. We all agree on that. I just think, even if you have local teams and you always have, you can watch your local team in that local market, we're entering an era where you can't watch, you may not be able to watch all the other teams. And that's what we do with football. We absorb all the games that we possibly can. If it's on, we're going to watch it. But now, Amazon, ESPN Plus, Peacock, Netflix. Netflix wants to, let's think about just this one aspect. Netflix is going to probably outbid either CBS or Fox in the very near future to get Sunday afternoon games. That's going to lit that. That's a lot. That's asking a lot of fans.
It is.
That's asking a lot of fans.
It is.
And see, I feel like we had the same conversation with Amazon when they took over Thursday Night Football. And you still get some people saying, man, I don't have Amazon Prime.
Exactly.
But when you look at the numbers, when the numbers come through, maybe that one person don't have Amazon Prime, but them numbers be high as hell where that's where all these other streaming platforms is like, hey, let me get in on this too, because the numbers is showing everybody, or a lot, probably 90% of people have Amazon Prime somehow.
But ultimately,
because they still watch the game.
Ultimately, you're going to have a big chunk of people that just live in San Francisco, and they're Texans fans, and they won't be able to watch the Texans. They're going to live in Omaha and watch the Texans.
Well, the NFL has already been selling you the opportunity.
They do not care.
If you want to watch your team, there's already been direct ticket. And
they're nickel and diming
you.
It's not nickels and dimes, but they're nickel and diming you.
And they've been doing that. Like I agree with your assertion, and I think if I was operating purely from, like, I am only considering logic in these things, I would be with you where it's like, hey, man, Mark Cuban, years ago, I've always held on to this statement of the idea that, hey, man, you know,
how did he put it?
Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
Yeah,
I've held that. That's ingrained in my memory because I'm like, yo, that is a cautionary tale that, hey, you try and get too greedy, and eventually the viewing public or whatever your customer base will say, no, you've asked for too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've seen the last decade or two of the NFL where they keep doing this, and at every turn, I'm like, ooh, maybe. Maybe. Mm-hmm. And they just keep blowing through what I imagine are these stop signs.
Yeah.
And so I've gotten to a point where I've been browbeaten by just how their ability to make money hand over fist, despite the things that they are doing that seemingly don't actually, you know, serve the audience necessarily. And so I'm to the place where I'm like, I'll believe it when I see it, because it just feels like they're too big to fail.
There is a bridge too far out there somewhere, you know, and I'm wondering if they're starting to get there quicker than they should. You know,
and maybe this ends up being kind of like what I've said with the NBA as well. And as you're saying, and the 281 crystallized it, they don't care, right? Because ultimately,
they don't.
The numbers, the money keeps coming in.
They
the
don't
numbers
care.
That matter is the money keeps coming in in a big number.
They do not care about Joe Blow at home with no cable, man.
Yep.
They do not care. They looking at them streaming numbers.
Yep.
And the streaming numbers are going up, money, and really more importantly, the TV rights are going up, and they're able to make all those shake. It kind of seems to stink, and as we continue to move away from like the things that serve the customer, I do wonder what the stopping point is, but it does not feel like
it's going to get to a point where regular TV won't even exist. You're going to have to watch all this stuff, like all these CBS and NBC, you got to watch all their stuff on the app, on their personal app.
Yeah,
it's possible. All right. That's interesting. I'm going to be pondering that, I'm certain, throughout the rest of the day, as it seems like everybody's pondering the time machine question that we posed earlier today. We'll get back around to that, and we still got B. Scott coming in today. It is a rodeo ticket Tuesday where all day long, Bun B birthday bonanza tickets are on the menu. We'll give those away in the 11 o'clock and the 1 o'clock hours, so keep it locked right here. Plus, I hope you're listening just in general on the Odyssey app, because that is the way to enter into the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. I'll tell you more about that again later. But coming up next, let's get to our official question of the day. What's the most awkward situation that you've been thrust into in honor of Yuli and Yu Darvish having their own very awkward situation that they'll have to deal with? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, friends, I'm going to be completely honest with you, as I often am. Sometimes I'm not, but for the most part, maybe about like 95%. Our question of the day is inspired by Yuli Gurriel signing to play with the Padres, where he will now be teammates with Yu Darvish.
Yikes.
And yeah. Yeah. That's an awkward
situation. What do the kids say? Awkward.
That's right. That's right. And why is that awkward, Lopez?
Well, how do I put this? Yuli Gurriel hit a home.
Show the people what he did.
No, I don't.
Will that get him fired?
I
don't think that would get him fired.
You sound hopeful.
He might get reprimanded. No, I'm just trying to see. Like, I never think about what can I get away
just
with.
Just cover up the camera.
Okay, gotcha. All right, cool.
He made a gesture after hitting home run off of Yu Darvish in the postseason. That was not exactly kind. Not exactly kind.
It wasn't a thumbs up, huh?
No, it was not.
Okay, all right.
So now he's got to walk in. He's got to walk into that clubhouse maybe today, and see Yu Darvish.
That's right. You think you seems like a pretty nice guy.
Remember, like, I think in the next at bat or next game or whatever, Yuli tried to calm it all down by he stepped out and tipped his helmet before he batted.
He's like, hey, please don't hit me, dog.
Yeah. That's exactly what he was doing.
But I mean, that got us thinking. Hey, what is the most awkward situation that you've been thrust into? Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna be honest. The text line, the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610, is still jumping from our trade, our time machine question. Yeah. So yeah. I'm in a little bit of a dilemma.
We can go in two lanes. We can go freeway.
Okay, we want to go two lanes at the same time.
We can go freeway on this, I-10 West. Yeah, you got the passing lane in one, you got the other one. So you can go two lanes on this. The time machine is really, as you said, continuing to take off. We might have to revisit that. And then what's the most awkward situation you've ever been thrust into? And the example I gave, I think, has happened a lot, where like a dude married this woman and found out, you know, as he was dating or whatever, they actually dated the sister or something like that. Yeah. That's awkward.
That kind of happened to me. I told you all about my lovely wife. Mm-hmm. She went off to college. And her roommate was somebody I was kind of talking to before. And I'm like, oh, we both looked at each other like, oh, okay.
How you doing? But at least you don't have to see her a lot.
Yeah.
My most awkward situation happened in 2009, believe it or not, and has to do with this radio station. So I interviewed and did some, they asked me to come over here, and I did some mock shows with Vandermeer in the dead of night. We were coming out here at 9 o'clock at night to do some mock shows, etc. So they offered me the job. Everything was taken care of. Everything signed, sealed, and delivered. Except I had 3 more months to work at the former radio station. So I had to work over there for 3 months, going to meetings, doing events, doing the whole
thing. Act like you care.
Acting like I cared, knowing that I was going to be here in 3 months and counting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
That sounds kind of illegal, man.
Well, it might have been. I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I don't know. But I was there for 3 months, knowing that I was going to be here in October of 2009. It was wild, man. Hey, we should go blue. I'm like, yeah, we should do that.
So people trying to make plans in the future, you're like, I will not be here.
Won't be here.
I will not be here. This is interesting. From the 8-2, somebody said Yuli Gurriel and Yu Darvish fixed this 2 years ago. They actually went to dinner together. I didn't see anything about them going to dinner together. I imagine, like, especially with like the particular racist undertones of the stuff that happened, that there had to be some level of conversations at some point. I don't know that would still not make this some level awkward. But possibly, like, maybe they have entirely buried the hatchet, and that's fine. That doesn't stop us from talking about the fact that sometimes you get into awkward
still
situations.
Awkward.
Yeah,
I imagine so.
Yeah,
maybe not. Like, maybe they come in, they're like, hey man, it's all business, it's baseball. No. I imagine that it helps. One is a pitcher, one is a position player. They don't really have to spend all that much time together. That's one of the things I'm always fascinated about with a clubhouse, is kind of the smaller divisions within it, and the ways in which you don't really, like, they don't necessarily work in the same department at the same building, right? Like, we could kind of operate with my guys or whatever. Now, it's always beautiful when you see, like, a clubhouse that is a lot more close together all the way around. Like, it's one of the reasons why it was kind of incredible that Bregman, was the way that he was and, like, reached out to Hunter Brown and was helping him and such. Like, because that's not something that inherently those guys necessarily spend all that time together, per se.
Now, let me ask you this. Bregman obviously is in an awkward situation, but you haven't said anything.
Yeah,
there's got to be one.
The thing I'm thinking about isn't really one that I was thrust into necessarily. I told you guys recently about a date that I went on where it was very abundantly clear that, oh yeah, this is not going to be, it's not going to be it. Where, you know, she was younger than me, and then she was like all day kind of talking about how, you know, she getting into fighting and interpersonal relationships with folks. All that. And I was like, very, very early, I was like, okay, this is not going to be something. Keys going well, you know, drive home, everything was pretty awkward, and then park at the house, and it was very evident that she wanted us to go somewhere else. So I was
we're done.
But that didn't really fit into the theme, but that's where my mind kept going. Thanks a lot for that, mind you. Somebody said all that TV and streaming talk is the reason why I'm not a diehard fan. Oh, that's from last segment.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that was where my brain went, and I can't. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm the type of person that I kind of tend to try and forget those awkward moments. I'm like, I'm burying them.
Yeah.
And so I'm having a hard time like digging into the ones that absolutely fit them.
I know there's a lot of awkward moments that people are thrust into because of politics. You know, Thanksgiving and Christmas.
That's a good point.
And all that. It's like, well, we got to go. We can't not go to your mom's house, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, yeah, but so-and-so was there and they're blah, blah, blah. That happens a lot.
That's a great point.
One that I had going on 3 years ago now when my mother died, my brother, my full brother, got very upset that I was the executor of the will.
That's tough.
I'm the youngest of five.
And he wanted that honor.
Why she make you that?
Yes, and my parents made me. I don't know why. You know, whatever reason they had, the executor of the will. And so my big brother's like,
you're the responsible one, huh?
Maybe that was it. And then he's like, wait, you got to make all these decisions. I said, yep. Yep, I owned it.
How about this from the 713? They said they hired a new drummer before they fired their old drummer. Old drummer showed up to the studio with two kids in the room, turned into a more awkward. Oh, so that
he was ready to play.
Yeah, you didn't let him know he was going to get fired, which honestly, I feel like that you got to. I understand that the will to kind of want to tell people in person. Mm-hmm. At the same time, tell me before I get to work, right? Tell me before I've geared up for this day of work. And I feel like that's where that drummer was. He was ready to, all right, here we go. Let's get my drum set. Hey, did y'all get me a different drum set? What's happening here? Actually, can you come take a seat for a second? We got to tell you something. Yeah, no, that's very awkward, but I feel like you could have avoided it.
I bet you this one happens a lot. My ex-girlfriend and my wife became best friends.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Like, wait a minute. You sure you want to go out with them?
And the tough part about best friends is that eventually they're going to get
to talk. Oh, it's going to come out.
Eventually. Yeah. Eventually you'll get there. Mm-hmm. Like, if they were just kind of cordial, mm-hmm. maybe you can sidestep some of this. Mm-hmm. Best friends? You might as well just let it go. Mm-hmm. All those stories, all that stuff. You're going to become a cop topic of discussion. Yeah.
I was in an awkward position here one time, man. It was a sales guy. I didn't know this, but he was walking out of his office, mm-hmm. and he had some stuff in his hand.
Oh, no.
And so I'm like, hey, what's up, man? I'm like, where you about to go, man? He like, today's my last day.
Oh.
No. I'm like, oh. At that point, it looked like he was really sad. So I'm like, I know he ain't just up and leave on his own.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know what to say. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah. I'm going to miss working with you, man.
That's really all you can say.
I ain't really know him as much.
Yeah. You weren't mentally prepared for that conversation?
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, man. I'm like, I just made it so awkward now. Like, I never want to see nobody who get let go leaving the building.
That's
man.
Happened a few times.
Yeah. It was one time, shoot, up here. Mm-hmm. I had to walk around the other way, man. I was just.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't look at nobody knowing that's their last day.
Yeah.
Somebody said, had a friend who married his wife, had several kids, then divorced after 4 years due to cheating on him, during her cheating on him, and then she remarried with that guy, which was his brother. Oh, wow.
Ooh, that's man. What I was talking about.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, all Easter.
Yeah.
Rough. Somebody said, you can't top this one. They were dating two girls at the same time. One of them was in the apartment. Other one came knocking on the door. Yeah. But this is the thing. Here's the thing, friend. You were not thrust into that.
Yeah.
You chose that life.
Yeah.
That was one that you wanted to. And somebody said on a construction site, people say and do the worst things you could ever imagine, and you still show up to work the next day and work with that guy and get them back. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess it.
Godspeed.
Not that much, not that awkward in that instance. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's the 11 o'clock hour, which means we open up the window for our first ticket giveaway to Bun B's birthday bonanza for the Houston Rodeo, Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. So that'll happen in the next hour. Plus, I believe B. Scott should be joining us. So coming up next, let's go around the NFL with B. Scott, Sports Radio 610.